Hello, Humanity First community, and welcome back to the Leading for Children podcast. I'm Julia Connolly, producer of this show and Leading for Children's Development and Communications Associate. Today, you and I are going to be exploring perhaps the one thing connecting all of us and the force that drives our Humanity First model, humanity. It's right there in the name. We'll be revisiting highlights from episode 3 of season 1, where our hosts Judy Jablon and Nicole Parks were joined in conversation by Lee Sargent. I'll let our friends introduce themselves so you can get familiar with their voices, then be back to ground us as we begin the journey.
I'm Judy Jablon, founder and strategic advisor at Leading for Children. My podcast partner, Nicole Parks, is here along with our dear colleague, Lee Sargent. Nicole?
Hello, Judy, and everyone out there listening. My name is Nicole Parks, and I am the executive director at Leading for Children, and I'm happy to be here today. And Lee, I'll pass it to you.
Thank you, Nicole. My name is Lee Sargent, and I'm the executive director for Tallahatchie Early Learning Alliance in the Mississippi Delta. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure.
At LFC, we practice our groundbreaking Humanity First model because we believe that the key to a healthier, more equitable, and empowered world is putting our human values and experiences, along with our emotional, physical, social, and intellectual needs, at the center of our thinking. Judy says, humanity is not a lofty idea. It's the heart of our daily life. It is what we say and do and how we treat others. It's the soul of our community, and it is what children experience and learn from every day. Building our humanity is fulfilling our true potential. We begin each episode with the phrase, every child must learn what it means to be human. We hold fast that honoring our shared humanity is what fortifies us so we can show up for ourselves, for each other, and ultimately so we can show up together for children, because then they learn the very best of what it means to be human. In this first segment, Judy, Nicole, and Lee discuss how when we make the choice to put humanity first, we feel better. We have more energy and more space to build connections that strengthen our communities.
Deciding who I want to be. Ultimately, that's where it starts. Who do I want to be and how do I want to show up in the world? It's not about the fancy words that I say. It is what I'm doing when nobody's watching. It is recognizing that every single person is worthy of dignity and respect. Each day, I have to choose to see each person as a human. And when I don't do that, I also have to challenge myself. I think for me, it all boils down to we are human, period. And each day, that's what I try to live. And so much of it is about the intent behind it. I was laughing and talking with someone yesterday, and she said, even when you're upset, you're kind. How do you do that? And I started to laugh, and I said, well, the first thing you should know is I do work from the principle of grace and space. I said, but what you really should know is every time you hear me respond with a kind word, when someone is not necessarily being kind to me, you just have to know that I've already filtered through probably 2 or 3 responses in my head. So it's not that I walk around and I'm the kindest person on earth. I am very intentional.
Nicole, you know, in my upbringing, I was raised one way and I tried to instill that upbringing on my 20-year-old and it didn't work out too well. So I had to choose to show up differently and say, I don't want this little person here to have the same thing, because then you're carrying on a legacy that's just the same old repeating itself. I wanted him to have a legacy that was worth holding on to, that he would be proud of. We started doing something where we packaged bags for homeless people around the city. And so when we go places, we find opportunities to give them a bag. My 9-year-old face light up when he sees someone that he can pass the bag to. It's about a legacy of caring a legacy of allowing people to make mistakes, giving people an opportunity in the space that they need to be who they are. And going back to what Nicole's saying, that's about being human. It's about intentionally making decisions so that you can pour positive impact into those children. They're our future. And if we want to change the outcome of what happens in the world, we're going to have to start pouring some humanity into our children.
I think what you both described is how humanity is like a moral compass. I think about how many people say, I don't have time. And the thing about not taking the time to be kind is that it is exhausting. You're in a culture, in an environment of tension and hostility, which is draining. And I think that too many people, myself included, in some situation, don't realize how our actions are affecting the chemistry, the mood of the environment. And so if Nicole chooses to filter out those negative responses and chooses a kinder response, there's more of a chance that the next thing that happens won't escalate to more negativity or more stress or more tension. You know, Lee, this morning, Nicole and I were talking and I was telling her about a time that we were in Mississippi together. And Nicole started a conversation with the lady at the hotel desk. And I was so sure she had known this woman for like years. And later I said to Nicole, that was such a wonderful conversation to witness. And Nicole said, yeah, last night she was on duty when I came in and she was so kind to me. And I know that I was kind and nice to service providers, but that day something changed in me. I wouldn't say I go an extra step. It's that I get so much pleasure getting to know the people around me. And it gives me joy to smile and to say hello to the person in the grocery store and to talk to the person on the street. Or, you know, there's a woman who I give coffee to whenever I go into the coffee store and she's sitting outside. And it fills my heart. And I think that children see us having our heart fill and it fills their heart. And that's, I think, what it means to spread humanity. Kindness gives us energy. You know, it creates a more harmonious environment. And we know that kindness that I show ripples to the next person, to the next person. You create that spirit around you. And so while we're focused on making a better world for our children, we can't forget that we're making a better world for ourselves.
Putting our humanity first has a powerful impact on how we experience life on a personal level. It also has profound implications for the systems we live within. Think about what it feels like to be truly empowered. And I'm not talking about domineeringly powerful. I'm talking about what it feels like to have a sense of agency. Do you notice how it actually opens your mind and heart? How it creates space for others around you to be empowered too? It's a continuous cycle centered around equity. And in this next section, our friends talk about how elevating each other's voices initiates a ripple effect that heals and strengthens our communities.
I always hold on to the idea that systems are made up of people, and you can't talk about systems without talking about people. We can't do the work with the adults in children's lives as a way to get to the children. We have to do this work with the adults in children's lives and really see them for who they are and appreciate their wisdom and knowledge. And when we do it that way, they ripple to the children.
In this work in the Mississippi Delta, I take it very serious that their voices are heard, and I take it serious that their voices matter. So many times in organizations, when we're trying to figure out how we're going to do things for children and what impact we want, sometimes it's the administration or the leader that wants to impose the change and not consider the community. And so when we are trying to make decisions about things, the first thing we ask is, these are the ideas that we have. What do you think? And how can this happen? And it's interesting what happens when we let go and we allow the community to make the change. We allow the community to make the impact. And I think that's about being respectful of their need and letting them know that we're here to listen to see how we can make this better for children, especially when it comes to our younger children in a community, because they're going to be where we are right now. They're going to be the ones leading that community. And we want to make sure that the adults surrounding them now show them how to do that. But it happens from us. It happens from the top. If we go in with the humanity first, if we go in with the caring spirit, it will trickle down to them because they will see how we are responding to them. And then they respond to the children.
We have to each be willing to play a part in breaking down traditional power structures and really solving the systemic problems in early learning. Strong communities are equitable and they're inclusive, but they don't just happen.
As we talk about seeing, honoring, and uplifting other adults to nurture our relationships and promote equity, we have to apply that same principle to our interactions with children. We have to give them opportunities to develop their own sense of agency. The good thing is, when we're practicing that in other parts of our lives, we develop the internal strength and community support to help us show up for them. And by creating space for their voices, they can grow into confident and humanity-focused or humanity-first leaders too.
When children are part of the process, that tells them that they matter too. I can't tell you how different I see my 9-year-old than I do my soon-to-be 21-year-old. I was a different parent 21 years ago than I am now. I am trying my hardest to be intentional with what I am doing. This morning, Jay said, I don't want apple juice. I want milk. I said, well, son, we don't have that much milk. And I thought that it was not enough because he loves milk. Well, I poured it in the glass and he says, oh, that's plenty. And so allowing him to choose what he wants to drink in the morning may seem very small, but that's very big, because then I would have had to fight him on drinking apple juice this morning, or he would have only taken a sip and then threw it away. But he had just exactly what he needed. And so I asked questions. What do you want to eat when we have 4 or 5 different things on a plate for dinner? You want the chicken and rice, or do you want just the chicken? You probably don't want the rice. So while make a mountain out of a molehill, you're getting protein, you're still eating. I think that also develops character when the children are able to make choices, express the way that they feel. But we have to create the space, like Nicole says, you know, we have to create that space for our children to have the comfortability of wanting to share and wanting to have those conversations. If we are fussing about you only eating the chicken and I put 3 other things on your plate, they're not going to come talk to you later about something that happened at school. That might seem like it's unrelatable, but it is. And I've had my 20-year-old tell me that, you know, you can't get time back. You know, you can try to do your best to do it differently, but I am now responding in a way where he is wanting to talk and I'm not always making a mountain out of molehill. Our children's voices do matter. At the end of the day, they do. And I think they will make for healthier children and happier children if we just kind of let the reins go, right? And just let them be who they are.
When children don't behave well, there's a reason. And they're usually emulating some version of our bad behavior. When you describe dinner and making sure Jace has a choice, he goes to sleep without being upset, as opposed to, well, you can go to your room without dinner then, you know, so now we've got an unhappy kid who goes to sleep unhappy and gets up in the morning unhappy. And then you argue with him about the juice versus the milk. And so now that unhappy is escalating and he goes to school and he gets in trouble. And, you know, I was that kid. And I think that the subtle things that we're describing about how we can create an environment where we see each other, we respect each other's perspectives, we see the value of choices, those are the kinds of behaviors that are respectful of people's dignity and humanity. And if children are living in that environment, they copy it.
Listening to you, Lee and Judy, it reaffirms for me the importance of having that experience where not only are their voices heard, but the essence of who they are is embraced. I've learned along the way and shifted my own beliefs from I should accept everyone to I should embrace everyone, because accepting means that I still decide your worth or your value. But when I embrace, I simply wrap my arms around all of who you are.
We want to convey that humanity is about dignity and respect. We talk about what leadership means. It doesn't mean being the boss. It doesn't mean that you're top dog. It means you own the impact you have. I'm thinking so much of you here, Nicole, and how you talk with Gracie and you support Gracie in thinking through things. So much connected to what Lee is talking about, because we want kids to be leaders and we want kids to understand the difference between being a leader and being a bully, or having the power to exercise your voice as opposed to seeing power as a way to squish somebody else.
With Gracie, I am really mindful that in order for me to truly show up with her, I have to be steady myself. I have to be resilient myself. I have to emulate all the things that I expect her to do and the human that I hope that she is and continue to become. I think about the words that I say, the space that I hold. And I think one of the greatest compliments I've ever received as a parent was actually when a teacher called and shared that they had these agreements of kindness that they had to sign. And then they put them on the wall. And Gracie wrote a note on hers and said, "I don't want to sign this." And so the teacher said, "Why?" And she said, "Because not everybody is kind. And not everybody is kind to me. And if it's an agreement, then we all have to be kind." So the teacher called me and basically said, "She is being a little disrespectful here. And she's questioning my authority." And so I said, I'm very proud of her for being able to say what she was feeling and what she was thinking. I said, "And it sounds like she really understands what an agreement is." I said, "So I wonder if perhaps you want to go back and say to her, what would help you to feel like this is a class that you are willing to sign this agreement because you feel that you're being kind to others and others are being kind to you?" And when Gracie came home, we had a conversation about it. I said, "Did you sign the agreement?" And she said, "Yes, ma'am, I did." And I said, "Okay, tell me about your choice." And so she said, "We talked about it and we thought about how we can determine if someone is being kind and if they're not, and my responsibility in that." And I said, "Okay, great." And she said, "Why didn't you make me sign?" And I said, "Because it was your choice." I said, "It was your choice to sign. And it's also your responsibility to speak up and say, here's my experience and here's what I need." I said, "And it is my job to support you in doing that." And when I walked away from that and shared it with someone else, and they said, "Oh, I would have made my child sign right then and there." I said, "Well, why?" And they said, "Because they need to learn how to obey." And I said, "Well, what society is it when we teach our children to obey? Because the thing is, then all of a sudden they become 18 and we're saying, you need to make your own choices. You need to be a leader and not a follower. You know, you need to be a positive contributor to society." And what I learned between my older set of children and now having this privilege to raise this amazing young lady is I get to hold space for her to be who she is. And I get to embrace that and support her in owning, though, you're responsible for how you show up in the world, Gracie. And if you show up and you're mean, then you have to own that you were mean to someone. And it's your responsibility to make that right. Because I think that's the biggest thing about humanity is choice. And when we take away choices from children, because I'm the adult and I said so, I have the power, I have the authority, we do them and ourselves a huge misfortune.
It's such a privilege to listen to the two of you. Neither of you are saying you're relinquishing your responsibility. What you're describing is supporting children and cultivating a sense of their own agency, their own sense of power. My mom also, you know, not only did I have to eat it or go to sleep hungry, it was on the table the next morning for breakfast. It was a ridiculously strict home. And who I've chosen to be as an adult is in reaction to a lot of what I grew up with. And I learned a lot from being a teacher and having mentors who said, don't back children into corners. The only person who loses is you. It is tempting sometimes to use the authority that you have with a loud voice or the size of your body or because I said so. And I remember with nieces when they were little and nephews, there were times that I had to say, well, because I'm the adult and I have to keep you safe, you know. But I just think that we sometimes stop the conversation, not just with kids, but also like with our spouses, with family members, where the need to be right is so strong and it like takes us over as opposed to being curious. And what you did with that teacher was undid the issue of right and wrong and interjected curiosity so that the outcome was better for both. And I think about how often children see us in conflict with a spouse or with a sibling, you know, a peer, and that's what they're seeing. They're not seeing us coming to resolution or us being kind to find a better pathway.
They are watching us. We have to find these new ways of collaborating and listening to each other and really responding to each other's humanity. Strong communities are equitable and they're inclusive, but they don't just happen. They really begin with us. And so each one of us has to own that.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to listen to the full episode that these highlights come from or any of our previous episodes, you can search for the Leading for Children podcast on your favorite streaming platform. To access more of our content, you can visit our website at leadingforchildren.org, look us up on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, and subscribe to our monthly newsletter. We have an abundance of opportunities for you to connect with us and engage with the rest of the Humanity First community. We encourage you to go explore, and we'll see you next month.